Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, yes, yes. Going to continue the attenuation for the key tape. Say, when you go forth, Bamarinya and Amharic for Senbet Bewata Gizeh. When you go forth, when you go forward. So here, the attenuation. And so here, more officially, you know, it's after midnight, according to the Gregorian, you know, Western Gentile calculation of time. We're already in the new year, according to Ethiopia, the kingdom of God, according to the solar, on the solar calendar, the solar new year has begun. And we got another about 2 or so weeks for the lunar, right? For the lunar, kind of like, I have to catch up, but with the lunar new year. Kind of interesting, even this day, you know, or this night rather, you know, in this region of the world, one's been commenting on how full the moon, you know, how full the moon is looking at this time. So right here, we are actually in the midway, right? We're actually at the midway of the month. You know, I think the 15th day is Elul, the 6th month, right? Looking forward to the 7th moon. And the fall festival season. But here we're in this Torah reading and feeding, Kia Tete, going over some of the civil laws for the people, Amo Yisrael, here in this Torah reading and feeding. Here we're in the 40 days of Teshuvah, of repentance, as we're getting ready for the fall festival season. Have about 2 or so weeks here doing the Cheshbon HaNefesh, that soul searching, you know, these days, the 40 days, Yemei Ratzom, days of favor, days of grace, you know, as we're going to a new cycle of time. So on the solar calendar that has begun, we have begun. Here we're in the last Shabbat, right, of the ecclesiastical, we said a churchical year. We're still in season, right, because when we fulfill the third appointment, you know, the fall festival season, then we will be out of season. We will not have these seven, you know, the seven feast festivals that occur in the 3 times of the year. Then we'll come into the next season of the year where we don't have these particular feasts and festivals. But before we ride up, let's touch on this 5th Shabbat. We have the 5th Shabbat here, of comfort, of the 7 Shabbats. So we have the Haftarah for Shabbat Ki Tetzeh, picking up with Yeshaya, Isaiah chapter 54, verses 1 to 10. Now here at the 5th of the 7 readings, right, from the prophets that are consecutively read before the Yom Teruah, right, the Yom Teruah, that is the Day of Trumpets, that is later called and referred to as Rosh Hashanah, what we call the Jewish or Judaic, the civil year, the civil new year. So in a sense, there are kind of 2 new years, so to speak. There's a holy new year, right, as HaTorah commands that first moon about 6 moons ago. Right, and then we have the Yom Teruah, the Day of Trumpets, that is referred to as the Rosh Hashanah, the head of the civil new year. So we have the Haftarot of comfort, foretelling the restoration of Jah people, the coming of the Messianic age. In this week's reading, Jehovah compares the Bnei Yisrael, the sons of Israel, to a wife, right, who has long been barren. According to the sages, as we mentioned, Jah, he tells the wife of his youth to sing out with joy, right, for soon she will have a hard time keeping track of all of the children. Many will return by means of a mighty wave of repentance, having that change of heart, that change of mind, proverbially speaking, doing that 180. You know, they've been going astray this way and will turn away from the stray way. There's a mighty wave, right? Even in days like these, even after, quote, 70 years, right? a mighty wave of repentance that will sweep over the world, the earthly plane, when Yerushalayim, right, when Jerusalem, seeing that the soul of Jah people is finally redeemed, and Moshiach reigns in I and I hearts and in I and I minds. So about to ride up with that right there, give thanks to the fellow co-laborers, to Wyndham Ross, Sahar Ahad, Wyndham Ross, Iason, Tafari, also the other brothers and sisters co-laboring with I and I right here. Since here we are technically at the first day, known as the Ehud, known as the Sunday, let's just share a little bit of the Sabbath Seal Psalm. Should we go on the Sabbath Seal Psalm? Let's actually complete right here, you know, the seventh Aliyah. Right, let's complete the seventh Aliyah right here. Let's ride forward, because there's more to reason on right here, because like a double, we have Ethiopian New Year, we have this Torah reading and feeding, we have the fifth of the seven Shabbats of comfort, comfort ye. What we can ride up with is the psalm. All right, let's chant that psalm. The psalm right here for the first day, Psalm 24.
The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah, 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 Selah.
Padamawi, Padamawi. Slavia.
The whole place is doomed forever.
Believing in man must ensure them hate. But I feel like running still, Lord. And finally give me a face, I'll be free.
Dear God, please make me into a bird so I can fly far, far away from here. Dear God, please make me into a bird so I can fly far, far away from here. Far away from here. Far away from here.
This is Psalms 24 without apology. Muta Maruka and Luciana, trust me.
Yes, it's the Lord. And the fullness thereof.
The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof.
The world and they that
dwell therein. For he hath found it upon the sea.
He hath founded it on the sea.
And established it upon the flood.
Established it on the flood.
Who shall ascend in the hill of
Jah?
Or who shall stand in his holy place?
Who shall stand in the holy place?
He that hath clean hands
and
a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul into vanity, nor scorned his equal. He hath received the blessing from Jah and righteousness from the Almighty of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him.
This is the generation that seek him, the Most High God.
Seek thy face, O Jacob.
Seek thy face, O Jacob. Oh, yeah.
Lift up your head, O ye gates.
Oh, lift up
and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of Glory shall come in.
And the King of Glory shall come in.
Who is this King of Glory?
I say who?
Emperor Haile Eyes, the last eye.
Thank you.
Luciano, Muta Baruka right there with Psalm 24, Psalm appointed for the first day called Sunday, the first day of the Shavua right here, corresponding with Ethiopia New Year here, 2015, according to the Highland calculation of time, 2015 right here. Let's share a little bit of Ras Chani. Salamta Tenaistalin, Navakam Adis Ahmet, Adarasachio, beautifully good. New Year, reach all of y'all, I and I all, yes I. Ras, Johnny, Salamta.
Only part of Africa that wasn't. And so that's like you was talking about, it's just a pride to be from that part of Africa. There's a big pride. And even Jamaicans and Rastafarians, if that's the way you say it, Rastafari, they identify with the culture of Ethiopia and Eritrea just based on the fact that it was never colonized. But that's a whole nother convo that, you know, they got experts that we got to be real careful about because they'll check us on our facts. But nah, you know,
Ethiopia. This man was born there. Babylon, to them that know me. Mention of Rahab and Babylon, Selah. I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon to them that know me. Behold, Philistia and Tyre with Ethiopia. This man was born there. Man was born there. Selah. Selah. I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon to them that know me. Behold, Philistia and Tyre with Ethiopia. This man was born there. Tyre with Ethiopia. This man was born there. With Ethiopia. This man was born there. With Ethiopia. 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 With Ethiopia.
Thank you.
Punjabi right there, some Hebrew, Royal Amharic, some Amharic and Hebrew tune right there, Adonai. The segue here, he says, as it was when the days of Noah, that was in the lyric, the relic, that connects here with the Haftarah for this fifth of the seven Shabbats of comfort. Rani Akra, sing, O barren. So here, Mikai and I ride up with the seventh Aliyah and the Haftarah, the Brit Chadasha here on this New Year's Day, Ethiopia, Kingdom of God, New Year's, on the solar calculation of time here, September 11th. First, this word from I and I.
Truth is truth.
Imperial Majesty, how does it seem to you the Apostle Paul meant the statement, faith works by love?
Yeah, Qudus Paulus, yalo, tasasata kal aydilim.
What St. Paul said here is not a mistaken statement. You all know what St. Paul was and what kind of work he was engaged in before his conversion. Later on, after his conversion, he had faith and love, and if he had not had that, he would not have taught people this in his epistles. Neither love nor faith are separable from each other. An elaboration of this is Paul's exposition in one of his epistles, which speaks of love and faith. Without love, all of our human efforts in the sight of God can be useless. He loved us, and on our behalf, he was given as a ransom, and it was because of love and his love for us that he accomplished the act of love.
His Imperial Majesty speaking on the gospel and speaking on Paul. We're going to have a reasoning on Paul. You check for His Majesty? Do you check for Paul? I know, the Western Gentile counterfeit Christianity. Yeah, but let's get to the roots. So right here, let's ride up the seventh Aliyah right here.
Come Israel, Abba Yisrael, Shema Yisrael, Adonai.
Hear, O Israel. Hear, O Israel.
Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad.
And hear, Shema Yisrael. Hear, give ear. Give ear. And here for the Shabi'i Aliyah, the Shabi'i, the seventh reading, the seventh up offering here for this Shabbat. And hear, Shema Yisrael. Hear, give ear. And here for the Shabi'i Aliyah, the Shabi'i, the seventh reading, the seventh up offering here for this Shabbat Ki Tates A. Sabbath, when thou goest forth. Lo, ta ishok, sakira, oni, we evyona me, acheka, o, mia, gerika, asher, di arzika, bi she areka. Here, picking up the fifth book of Moshe, the Hebrew book called Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 24, here, for the Shabi'i, for the seventh reading, the seventh Aliyah. For this Shabbat, Ki Tetzeh. Picking up here, Deuteronomy 24, verse 14. Thou shalt not oppress, downpress, an hired servant, that is, poor and needy. Lo, tai shoka, sakira oni, we ebion. Whether he be of thy brother, me acheka, or of thy strangers, o mi gerika, that are in thy land, within thy gates, Asher, Be-ar-tse-ka. Be-sha-are-ka. At his day thou shalt give him his hire. Neither shall the sun go down upon it. For he is poor, and setteth his heart upon it, lest he cry against the eye, la Yahuwah, to Jehovah, and it be chatat, chatiat, sin, akri, to the eye. The fathers, the patriarchs, shall not be put to death for the children, neither shall the children be put to death for the fathers, the patriarchs. Every man shall be put to death for his own chatiat, his own sin, his own akri. Thou shalt not pervert the judgment of the stranger, nor of the fatherless, nor take a widow's raiment to pledge. But thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in Mitzrayim, in Kemet. And Yahuwah Elohecha, Jehovah the I Elohim, redeem the I thence from there. Therefore, I command thee, I, to do this thing. When thou cuttest down thine harvest in thy field, and hast forgot a sheaf in the field, thou shalt not go again to fetch it. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow, that Yahuwah Elohecha, Jehovah the I Elohim, may bless thee in all the work of thine hands. When thou beatest thine olive tree, thou shalt not go over the boughs again. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow. When thou gatherest the grapes of thy vineyard, thou shalt not glean it afterward. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow. And thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Mitzrayim, in the land of Kemet, in the land of Egypt. Therefore, I command thee, I, to do this thing. Hear, 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 Shema Yisrael. Hear, 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 give ear. Fifth book of Moshe, Hebrew book called Deuteronomy, chapter 25. Divers regulations. Divers regulations. If there be a controversy between men, and they come to judgment, that the judges may judge them, then they shall justify the righteous and condemn the wicked, the ratchet. And it shall be, if the wicked, the ratchet man, be worthy to be beaten, that the judge, Shofet, shall cause him to lie down and to be beaten before his face, according to his fault, by a certain number. 40 stripes he may be given. 40 stripes he may give him, and not exceed, lest if he should exceed and beat him above these with many stripes, then Achika, thy brother, should seem vile to thee. Aye. Thou shalt not muzzle the ox when he treadeth out the corn. If brethren dwell together, and one of them die, and have no child, the wife, the Isha of the dead, shall not marry without to a stranger. Her husband's brother shall go in to her and take her to him, to Isha, to wife, and perform the duty of an husband's brother to her. And it shall be that the firstborn which she beareth shall succeed in the name of Aho, his brother, who is dead, that his name, Shemo, be not put out of Israel. And if the man like not to take his brother's Isha, Eshet, wife, then let his brother's Isha, Eshet, wife, go up to the gate to the elders and say, my husband's brother refuseth to raise up to his brother a name in Israel. He will not perform the duty of my husband's brother. Then the elders of his city shall call him and speak to him. And if he stand to it and say, I like not to take her, then shall his brother's Isha, Eshet, his brother's wife, come to him in the presence of the elders, and loosed his shoe from off his foot, and spit in his face, and shall answer and say, so shall it be done to that man that will not build up his brother's bait, his brother's house. And Shemo, his name shall be called in Israel, the house, the bait of him that hath his shoe loosed. When men strive together one with another, and the wife, the Isha of the one, draweth near for to deliver her husband out of the hand of him that smiteth him, and putteth forth her hand, and taketh him by the secrets, then thou shalt cut off her hand. Thine eye shall not pity her. Thou shalt not have in thy bag divers weights, a great and a small. Thou shalt not have in thine house divers measures, a great and a small. But thou shalt have a perfect and just weight, a perfect and just measure shalt thou have, that thy days may be lengthened in the land which Yahweh Eloheka, Jehovah the I Elohim, giveth thee. For all that do such things, and all that do unrighteously, are an abomination to Aiba, to Jehovah the I Elohim. And hear, Shema Yisrael, hear, give ear right here, hear, for the Maftir. The Maftir right here for this Shabbat Ki Teitzei. Here at verse 17, Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 17, for the Maftir. 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 Zakor et asher asalika et maleika ba'dereka b'seitekem ami mitrayim. Remember, 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 remember. Zakor, 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 Zakor. Remember what Amalek did to the eye by the way. Zakor et asher asalika emaleka baderek. When ye y'all were come forth out of Egypt, mi mitrayim, b'seitekema mi mitrayim, how he met the eye by the way and smote the hindermost of the eye, even all that were feeble behind the eye, when thou wast faint and weary, and he feared not Elohim, ulo yare Elohim. Therefore, it shall be when Yahuwah Eloheka, Jehovah the I Elohim, hath given thee rest from all thine enemies round about in the land which Yahuwah Eloheka, Jehovah the I Elohim, giveth thee for an inheritance to possess it, to possess her. That thou shalt blot out the remembrance of Amalek, of Amalek, from under heaven. Thou shalt not forget it. And here, fulfilling this Shabbat, the Torah readings for Shabbat Ki Teitzei. Kavur l'k'al, kavur l'dins, kavur l'hayl, glory be to the word, glory be to the sound, glory be to the power. Kavur l'abinu, l'melkeinu, glory be to I and I Father, Abuna, to I and I King, Nagusna, kavur l'k'edamawi, chayla selase, glory be to the first power of the Trinity, v'eshem Yeshua ha-Moshiach, in the name of Getachina, v'medhanitachin, in the name of I and I Lord and Savior, Jesus Christos. Amen. We have fulfilled all. Praise be to Mesken, to Mesken, Xiavi Yemesken, Jesus Christos, Jesus Christos, Jesus Christos, Jesus Christos, Jesus Christos, Jesus Christos.
Let the message shut up. Down.
King of all kings, Lord of all lords, conquering lion of the tribe of Judah. Elect of himself, mighty and thunderable, exhibit a massacre on Yahweh, the goose and the gods, let Jah be praised.
Psalm 119, the 12th verse right here. It says, Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. Baruch atah Yahuwah, lamdeini chukeka, thy statutes. Blessed art thou, the key phrase, Baruch atah Yahuwah, we say the Hashem. Other Yehudis would replace the Hashem, the Yod-Heh, Weh-Heh, Yahuwah, Yahawah, Yahweh, they replace it by Adonai. So you might often hear Yehudi say, Baruch Ata, Baruch Adonai.
Baruch Adonai.
We taught them that. Baruch Ata Yahuwah. Blessed art thou, O Jehovah. Blessed art thou. In relation of man to Ha Elohim, to the power, Ha Elohim, to bless. What does to bless mean in relation of man to Ha Elohim? It means to prosper his cause. By our I concentration, focus of heart, heartical, focus of heart, soul, and might to the advancement of his kingdom, Malkuto, in the royal Amharic, to Mengistu, Mengistu, to his kingdom, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth, right, as it is in heaven. Baruch Ata Yahuwah, blessed art thou. So once again, we know that blessing in the sense of Elohim to man is to cause us to increase. But how is it that we can bless he who be who he be? How can we increase? You know, we can't increase him. He is the Almighty. So the reasoning here, and this is coming from today's Psalm 119, the Torah, Yahweh of life, Baruch Ata Adonai, blessed art thou, Baruch Ata, 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 the I, speaking directly to him, speaking to him male, Ata, Baruch Ata, blessed art the I, he who be who he be. In relation of man, of I, not a human being, to the power to bless means to prosper his cause by I and I focus, our concentration of heart, heartically, soul, psychically, might, to the advancement of Malkuto, Mengistu, and the advancement of his kingdom, even the fulfillment of our Father prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Yes, I rise the far eye.
Rise the far eye. Rise the far eye. Rise the far eye. Rise the far eye. Rise the far eye. Rise the far eye.
After the reading of a section of HaTorah, the law, the following baraka, the following blessing is said, Baruch Ata Yahuwah Eloheinu Melech HaOlam. Blessed art thou, he who be, who he be, I and I, Elohim, true good, true God, King of the universe, universal King, who has given us the law, HaTorah, of truth, and has planted everlasting life in I and I midst. Baruch Ata Yahuwah, Noten HaTorah. Blessed art thou, Adonai, who givest I and I the Torah, the directions, the instructions. Jaloh. Wa imru. Amen.
Give the hand to the black Christ, the black Christ, the black Christ, the
black Christ, the black Christ, the black Christ,
the black
Christ, the black Christ, the black Christ, the
black Christ, the black Christ, the black Christ, the black Christ, the black Christ, the black Christ, the black Christ, the black Christ, the black Christ, the Asher natan lanu Torat emet Vayeolam natei Vatokanu. Baruch Atah Yahweh, Notein HaTorah, Sheilah.
Stay tuned for the Haftarah and the Brit HaChadash Aliyot, 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 Aliyot.
New York, Massive, are you ready?
I wanna hear it, say yes, I wanna hear it, say yes.
Uptown Massive, are you ready?
I wanna hear it, say yes, I wanna hear it, say yes.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech haolam Asher bachar b'nebiim tovim Veratzah b'debrehim Hane'amarim b'emet Baruch atah Adonai Habocher b'torah U'moshe abdo U'b'Israel ammo U'b'nebiei ha'emet wa'tzelik. Blessed art the I, Adonai, Eloheinu, eternal King, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Blessed art the I, Adonai, who chooses the Torah and Moses, his servant, and Israel, his people, and the prophets of truth and righteousness.
Hear, O Israel. Hear, O Israel.
Book of Isaiah, chapter 54, verses 1 to 10. Verses 1 to 10. Verses 1 to 10. Verses 1 to 10. Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith Yahweh, Buruku. Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles, and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame, for thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and shalt not remember the reproach of thy widowhood anymore. For thy maker is thine husband, Yahweh Zabaoth is his name, Buruku, and thy redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the Kedushan, the Elohim of the whole earth, shall he be called. For Yahweh have called thee as a woman forsaken, and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth, when thou wast refused, saith thy Elohim. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith Yahweh, thy Redeemer, to be good. For this is as the waters of Noah to me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. For the mountains, the Teraroch, shall depart, and the hills be removed. But my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed,
saith Yahweh Buruku, that have mercy on us. O thou afflicted and tossed with tempest, and not comforted, behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colors, and lay the foundations with sapphires, and I will make thy windows of agates, and thy gates of carbuncles, and all thy borders of pleasant stone. And all thy children shall be taught of Yahweh Buruku, and great shall be the peace of thy children. In righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the issat and the fire, and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work. I have created the waster to destroy. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. In every tongue that shall arise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of Yahweh Buruku, he who be who he be, and their righteousness is of me, saith Yahweh Buruku. Chapter 55. Ho, every one that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that have no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently to me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come to me. Hear, Shema, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run to thee because of Yahweh that Elohim Buruku, and for the Holy One of Israel, the Kedush An. For he hath glorified thee. Amen. Glory to the word, sound, and power. Jah, Rastafari, Ketamari, Haile Selassie, Negus, Negesa, Ethiopia. Let every team that have breath give praise to the Most High. Jah, Rastafari, Vesem Yeshua. Amen.
Rani, Rani, Akara, sing, O Baron, hear, hear, hear. Fifth week of comfort right here, Shabbat right here. Shabbat, Rani, Rani, speaking to she, sing, sing. Yes, I. So here, look, Rama, little Rama right now, tune right here. I shall sing. Here, love, Sister Marcia, Marcia Griffith. Exalt, exalt, Rani, Akra, O barren one, thou, the I, speaking to she, that this not be, break forth into exalting and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child. For there are more children of the solitary one than children of the married wife, saith Yahuwah, saith Jehovah. So here, just touching on this right here, this fifth of the 7 weeks of comfort as we pick up right here with Yeshayahu, Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 54. First 10 verses, chapter 54, give thanks, Rasaha Ahad, for the read right there, for the Haftarah of comfort right here, for Rani Akra, vision of Zion, vision of Zion. Now, Zion is she, Jerusalem is she, just keep that in mind, Hebraically. The vision of Zion, restored, Zion's suffering and humiliation will be forgotten in her glorious future. So here, just a little build on this fifth of the seven Shabuot, the Sabbaths of comfort, as we are fulfilling here the ecclesiastical, the churchical year, the church in the wilderness, right? The called out assembly, the assembly in the wilderness. Isaiah, Yeshaya, chapter 54, verse 1. Rani, Akra, Lo, Yalada. Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear. Rani Akra, Lo Yalada. Break forth into singing, Titzachi, Rana. And cry aloud, with Ahili, Vitzahili. And cry aloud, thou the I, speaking to she, that didst not travail. Lo chala, for mo are the children, of the desolate. Ki rabin b'nei shomema, then the children of the married wife, saith Yahuwah, mi b'nei be'ula. Amar Yahuwah, Be'ullah. In the English, this is what comes down in the Western Gentile and in the times of the Gentile Christianities as Beulah. You might have heard of Beulah, Be'ullah. That's a married woman, a woman that has a Baal, or some may say Baal, that term there. Baal, or say, oh, Baal, the Phoenician, Canaanite, Elohim Achrim, other people, other Elohim, right? But actually, in the true context, Baal, right, is a husband. So here we have in Yeshaya chapter 54, verse 1, after the servant, Mesharato Shel Elohim, the servant of Elohim has expunged, has kind of cleared, clarified, you know, atoned for the chet, her chet, the sin, the ukri, the fukri, the lack, the falling short of Amo, of his people, of Jah people, by the sacrifice of himself. Remember in the questions for Shabbat Shofti concerning how is Robeinu Yeshua ha Notri, Yeshua HaMoshiach, how is he likened to Robeinu Moshe? How is he likened to Moses? And when we check the scripts, both of them gave themselves for his people, for their people, right? There's many different signs right there that truly Yeshua is that prophet, according to HaTorah, likened to Moshe. So after the servant, Misharato Shel Elohim has expiated, has like atoned for the sin, the chatiyat, the falling short, the lack of his people by the sacrifice, the giving, the sacrifice of himself. And Yisrael Yasharala has acknowledged, confessed, the scripture has been translated confess, vidui, has acknowledged its fault in connection with the rejected one and entered into the possession and enjoyment of the salvation, the Yeshua, Yeshuot, salvation, the victory procured by him, the glory of the called out assembly here in the Brit Kadasha terms, the true church, you said the Hebrew church in the wilderness, that has thus become a partaker of the Yeshua, the salvation, the victory through repentance, Teshuvah, here in the season, the sixth moon known as the month of Elul, Hebraically, Judaically, the sixth month is these 40 days of Teshuva. Shuv means to turn. Doing that 180 from the straight way to Yahweh, truth and life. Mizor HaDerek, this is the way, has become a partaker of salvation through repentance, having that change of mind. Think different. Teshuva and Emuna and faith and credit and admittance is quite ready to break forth. Hence the prophet Hanabi, Yeshaya, Isaiah, can now exclaim, exalt, Rani Akra, exalt, O barren one, thou that didst not bear, beget children, lo, Yalada, yo, Yalada, break forth into exalting and cry aloud and shout, thou that didst not travail with child. For there are more children of the solitary one. The solitary one, here in the translation, speaking of the Shomema, the desolate one, the solitary one, then children of the married wife, the Bnei Beulah, the sons of the married woman, the one who has a Baal, right, a husband, saith Jehovah, saith Yahweh, hey, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Baruch Hashem. So what do we have here? The words are addressed to Yerushalayim, to Jerusalem, who is a counterpart to Sarah in her barrenness at first, and her fruitfulness afterward. So here we have the words being addressed to Yerushalayim, to Jerusalem. Are these words being addressed just to a city, just a city like brick and mortar? No, it's being addressed to the psyche, you know, Jah people truly. In covenant our soul people, so to the soul of Yasharala Israel, to she, the soul is she, Jerusalem is she, Zion is she. So the words are addressed to Yerushalayim, who was a counterpart of Sarah, even I matriarch, in her barrenness at first and her fruitfulness afterward. So here we have Yeshaya. Let's go to Yeshayahu 41:3. Chaburim. Going to write us a Brit Chadash just now, but here on this fifth of the seven Shabbats of comfort right here, corresponding to Ethiopia, Kingdom of God, New Year, September 11th. So here, Yeshayahu, here chapter 41. Mem Aleph, it says, keep silence before me. Keep silence before I, O islands, and make the peoples renew their strength. Make them draw near. Make them speak. Make them draw near, then make them speak. Make I and I come near together to gather to judgment. Who hath raised up one from the east, the man from the east, at whose steps victory attendeth? He giveth nations before him, and maketh him rule over kings, maketh him to overrule kings. His sword maketh them as the dust, his bow as the driven stubble. Verse 3. He pursueth them and passeth on safely. The way with his feet he treadeth not. The way with his feet he treadeth. He trodeth not. Now here we're reading from the Hebrew, right? The Hebrew from the Hebrew translation here, right? The book of Isaiah Hebraically, and here's the English coming from the Hebrew. But ones and ones might be more familiar with the KJV version, where it reads, keep silence before me, O islands, and make the people renew strength. Make them come near Then make them speak. Make I and I come near together to judgment. Who riseth up the righteous man from the east, calleth him to his foot, gave the nations before him, and made rule over kings. He gave them as the dust to his sword, and as driven stubble to his bow. He pursueth them, passeth safely even by the way he had not gone with his feet. So what do we have here? What is the comparison here with chapter 41 from the prophet Yeshaya? Here we have Hilahim's omniscience, omniscience, his all-knowing, and omnipotence, his all-power. The vanity of Elohim Achrim, of other peoples and other Elohim, so-called Elohim, Adonai, Adonai's loving key of Yisrael, and the summons to Koresh, to Cyrus. Cyrus, one of the only Gentiles in the scripts that was called Messiah, Moshiach, the king named Cyrus or Koresh. He was the instrument for the liberation of Jah's exile peoples. So in the first three, we read the three verses there. Say here in the first four verses, the fourth verse that we didn't read right here, it says, who have wrought and done it? Who have wrought and done it? Mi pa'al v'asa, mi pa'al, mi fa'al v'asa, who have wrought, who have worked it and done it, who have wrought and done it. He that called the generations from the beginning, Korea Hadorota may rosh from the head, may rosh from the rise, from the head, from the beginning. I, Yahweh, Ani Yahuwah, who am the first, Rishon, Ani Yahuwah, Rishon, I, he who be, who he be, who am the first, who am the Rishon, and with the last, with the last, am the same. Ve'et aharonim. Ani, who, I, he, I be he. And with the last, I be he. So here, what we have right here is the nations are invited, the invitation to the nations, to a judicial discussion. Let's discuss law and justice and peace, a judicial discussion in the presence and the face and the POV of Hilahim, who is to prove his omnipotence, his omnipotence, and the utter, sheer and utter impotence. So it begins off, be silent to me. The sense of this here is be silent and listen to me and listen to I. Ha-cher-ri-shu, Eli, Iyim, keep silence before I, Iyim, speaking of the islands, the Rastafari revelation, here in this north country, and to the islands, so here, for the Rani, Akra, sing, O barren, so here in the connection, opening verse here of the Haftarah for this Shabbat here, for the fifth Shabbat of comfort, the words being addressed to Yerushalayim, the soul, right? Yerushalayim, the soul of Jah people that is compared and is a counterpart of Sarah in her barrenness at first, at the Rishon, and her fruitfulness afterward. Once Isaiah 41, verse 1 to 3. Now, she is not Teled. She's not Akra, Teled, Lo. Right? Here. Let's bring this up. This is Job. Turn to Job for a moment. Job chapter 24, 21. It says, He evil entreateth a barren that beareth not, and doeth not good to the widow. So this part right here, we're going to compare this sense of the opening words. the opening words right here, right? Right after the opening words, Rani to sing, the opening words, Akara, 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 barren one, Lo, Yalada, right? And so comparing this right here, right, with firstly with Job, this expression, these words here, with Job chapter 24, verse 21, where it reads, he evil entreateth the barren that beareth not, and doeth not good to the widow. So here, let's compare and contrast these verses right here. And the verse right here is, Ro'eh ikara lo teled, v'almana lo yeyeti, lo yeyeti. Another way of bringing it out, the translation, he preys on the barren and childless woman and does not treat the widow well. So here in comparison, what we're studying right here for the Haftarah of comfort here, the fifth, she is not that one, that type of akara, a barren one, as we have in Job 24, 21, but more like what we have in Judges chapter 13, verse 2. Judges chapter 13, verse 2. What does Judges chapter 13, verse 2, KJV, read? And there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. Let's hear the Hebrew right here. Wayehia Isha Ehada, Mi Sara, Mia Misha Pahata, Ha Dani, U Shemo Manoah, Manoah, We Ishto Ekara with lo yalada. So that's the phrase right there, the key words. It says here in the last phrase of verse 2, it says, the ishko with ishko and his wife and his isha, his eshet, his horset, his wife, the ishto kara, akara, was barren with and the law and not yalada and did not bear. So now when we're looking at this expression here, she's not like the barren one in Job 24:21, but more like Judges 13 and 2, which is Samson's mother and father. Not indeed that she had never had any children, considering the Isaiah 54, which is being spoken to Yisrael, being spoken to Jerusalem, being spoken of Zion, the vision of Zion restored. Zion is she. Yerushalayim is she. And she is being spoken to here. And he who be who he be speaking to we, he's speaking to our soul, to she. Not that she indeed had never had any children, but during her captivity, the captivity of Yisrael, during the captivity in exile, she had been robbed. She was robbed of her children. And as a holy, a set apart city, had given birth to no more. To no more. Now here also is the covenant keeping. Are you not as the children of Ethiopia, the Neo children of Israel? This can be applied. It's applicable. In Isaiah chapter 49, verse 21, KJV says, then shalt thou say in thine heart, who has begotten me these, seeing I have lost my children and am desolate, a captive, and removing to and fro? And who hath brought up these? Behold, I was left alone. These, where they? These, where they? So here we have Isaiah 49:21. Let's just look into Isaiah 49:21 and the connection right here. Study to shew yourself approved. So here, verse 21, then shalt thou say in thy heart, who hath begotten me these? Seeing I have been bereaved of my children and am solitary and exile and wandering to and fro. And who have brought up these? Behold, I was left alone. These, where are they? This verse here in Yeshaya and Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 49, verse 21, brings out the sense of Zion, Zion, even the African Zion, bereaved. She's bereaved. She's solitary for so long, long time. She cannot be lived. She cannot admit, except that's true, that all the returning children are really her own. Why? She says of herself, an exile, a captive, removing to and fro or wandering to and fro. The exiled and wandering B'nai Yisrael, Israelites, they are personified in Zion, in Zion. She asks the question, says, where were they? Or better from the Hebrew, how is it with them? She says directly from the Hebrew, how is it with them? She says, Eile, Eifohem, Eile, Eifohem, Eile, these Eifo, like we're Haim, we're them, where they be, right? Speaking of her children, more directly speaking of her sons, how is it with them? Are they in fact my children, is what she's asking. Are these my children? Look, all this people coming forward, she's saying. There's a similar use of the Hebrew word Eifo, brought out as we're, that occurs in Judges chapter 8, verse 18. But let's go forward right here, Chavarim, for this Shabbat. And this first say, Rani Akara, sing, O barren, are ye not as the children of the Ethiopians unto me? So it's not as though indeed, for real, that she never had any children. But during her captivity and exile, she had been robbed of her children, of her sons and daughters, and as a holy, a set-apart city, had given birth to no more. She was, according to the Hebrew here, she was Shomema. What is Shomema? She was Shomema. She was desolate, right? She was solitary. This is rendered as solitary. Even in Second Samuel chapter 13, verse 20, where it says, and Absalom, her brother, said to her, has Amnon, thy brother, been with thee? But hold now thy peace, my sister. He is thy brother. Regard not this thing. So Tamar remained desolate in her brother Absalom's house. So here we have the word shamaim and shomema, desolate, right? Solitary, to be desolate, shomaim, to be appalled, to be shomaim, to be stunned, something stunned you, shomaim, to be stupefied is to be shomaim. Breaking down this word, the H8074, using the incident of Amnon, his sister Tamar, and Absalom right here as an example in the word desolate, right? Getting to the H8074 root, shomaim, right? Comes from shamaim. Shamaim means to be desolated, to be deflowered, to be deserted, to be appalled, to be awestruck, to be desolated, to be made desolate, to be appalled, to be stunned, right? So appalling, this causes horror, right? Horror causer, appaller, to devastate, to ravage, just to bring out this sense right here, right? To be stunned. But the key Hebrew sense of this, where it says that she is desolate or solitary, shomema, she is stunned. She's stunned. It's like when you grow numb. You go numb, you know? It's almost like when I women say, I'm done. Or you hear, brothers, you know, when you hear a woman, right, especially Beta Yisrael, woman say, I'm done. It's like that kind of like just want to become numb and dumb in that sense. Devastated, stupefied, right? Amazed, astonished, right? But also in the sense of to be destroyed, destitute, right? To be wasted, right? So here, she was Shomema. which is rendered in the translation as solitary. The allusion here, the likeness right here, the metaphor right here is to her depopulation as a city. She has been depopped. Interesting, that word can also mean to be deflowered in the case of Tamar, right, and her brother Amnon, the section that we read from 2 Samuel chapter 13, verse 20. But here, speaking of Jerusalem, speaking of the soul of Jah people, right, her city has been depopped, right, depopulated, whereas formerly she was Beulah, 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 Beulah. She was a married woman. She was a married woman. She was Beulah. She enjoyed the fellowship of Yahweh, Yahuwah. Her husband, her Baal, her Baal, her Baal. She wasn't going after other Baals, 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 Yahuwah, her husband. But this condition would not last, for Yahweh, Yahuwah, had not given her a divorce. Interesting, the Torah reading and feeding that we're in right here, the 49th degree, and the contents thereof, right, Moshe and the writing of the bill of divorce. But this condition would not last, for Yahuwah had not given her a divorce. She was therefore to exalt, big up, and shout, since a number of children that she would now have as one who is desolate and solitary would be greater and greater than the number of those that she had as a married wife. This is the comparison here as we reason on this and apply this, Isaiah chapter 54, right? So the address here, right, the address here is to Jerusalem. Zion's suffering and humiliation be forgotten in her glorious future. The return of the exiles, I and I, the Falasha Mora, I and I, the Beta Israel of the West. Heard a lot about the Beta Israel of the East, but I and I, the Beta Israel of the West. The return of the exiles to mother, to I and I, mother and mama, to Zion, our mother Zion. The prophet addresses the desolate city, barren, depopulated Jerusalem, that is like a, is like the likeness here, the mashal, the parable here is to like a childless woman. She used to have enough citizens, enough ones in Jerusalem. Now look, go look. It's like a woman without any children, like a childless woman from one condition to the next condition. But more are the children of the desolate, the exiled Judeans. I and I, the tribe of Judah, even coming out of this north country, returning to the devastated homeland. Remember that clip by the Sheba choir. Shimla, Shimla, Agarachin, Jerusalem, Bena. Shimla, Shimla, Agarachin, our country, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, Bena. Bena, is she well? Is she safe? Married wife. Jerusalem before Jerusalem before exile, when she was, so to speak, Beulah, Beulah, married to Hailahim. You say, oh, you know, they say that Jehovah has a wife, or the God of Israel has a wife. Well, yes, so to speak, as we dare speak like this, and the prophets also write like this, yes, the population of the new Jerusalem at the city to Jerusalem will be more numerous than that of the old Jerusalem. This is why it goes on to say, enlarge the place of thy tent, and make them stretch forth the curtains of thy habitation. Spare not. Enlarge it. Big it up. Lengthen thy cords and strengthen thy stakes. What's being said here? To make room for the increased population. Jerusalem is likened to a tent. The curtains being the tent hangings, the habitations, the other cities of the Isle of Land, of the Holy Land. Verse 3, for thou, for thee, for thou. And here this is speaking to she, speaking to Yisrael, right, in the feminine sense, and we interpret this Hebraically, speaking to I and I souls, speaking to like the innermost of the innocent. For thou shalt spread abroad on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed, thy race, shall possess, get that, the seed of Yasharah, shall possess the nations and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. So the verse here supplies the reason why the tent and habitations must be enlarged and extended. Possess the nations, or more better from the Hebrew, take possession of the nations, even the Afro-Canaanite nations. The reference is to the nations who occupied the land of Yasharallah, and also possibly to those around. We need living room. Verses 4 to 6 right here, fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded, speaking to she, speaking to our psyche, for thou shalt not be put to shame, for thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and the reproach of thy widowhood shalt thou remember no more. Now, this is in our power to forget something. We say, well, I just can't. I can forgive, but I can't forget. Well, if John said to forget, then you're ratchet as uck. No wonder. But these things, we have to use that divine power of mind, as he says, to forget. Forget it. Forget it. Well, you know what happened to me when I was forget it. The reproach of thy widow, don't remember it no more. No more, no more, no more, no more. For thy maker is thy husband, Ki Bo Eliak Osayik. Ki Bo Eliak Osayik. For thy Baal Bo Eliak Osayik is thy maker, speaking to she. Yahuwah Sabaoth Shemo, Jehovah of armies is his name. And the Holy One, the Isle One of Yisrael, is thy Redeemer. With Go Elaik, Kedosh Yisrael, the Holy One, the Kedosh of Yisrael, is Go Elaik, Go Elaik, Go Elaik, thy Redeemer. The Elohim of the whole earth, earth's rightful ruler, shall he be called. Elohei, kol ha'aretz, yikare, shall he be called. For Jehovah hath called thee as a wife forsaken and grieved in spirit, as a wife of youth. Can she be rejected? Sayeth thy Elohim, Amar Elohayik, Elohayik, not Eloheka, not speaking to he, we could say the male aspect of Yasharallah, but the feminine, the soul, Amar Elohayik. So here these verses 4 to 6, Yasharallah Yisrael, returning to Elohim, doing teshuva, thinking differently, turning around from the straight way, doing that 180 to Yahweh, truth and life. Wizoha Darek, and this is the way, returning to Hailahim, like a deserted wife to a husband, will forget the shame of the past in the love and the joy of the reunion of the Tawahido, of the oneness of the union and the reunion. He says to she, to fear not, I'll Tiri, Tiri, Al-Tiri, 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 speaking to she, speaking to our psyche, fear not, lest, unless the humiliating conditions of the exile will mar, will scar and will mar the new relationship between Hailahim and Amo, between Yahuwah, between Jehovah and Jah people and his people. This is the key here. When he says fear not, it's not a suggestion. It's a command. Al-Tiri, Al-Tiri, speaking to she, Al-Tiri, don't fear. Ki lo tevoshi, tevoshi, tevoshi. Don't be caught up in no bashment. Ki lo tevoshi. Don't be ashamed. Don't be bashed. Right? Bashed. Lest if you are, if you allow you, if you hear that command, say, yeah, I heard what you said, but I can't help it. Look, all these stuff happened in the past. I can't get it off my mind. Then you're caught. Then the devil has caught you. You know, he has taken you captive by his will. But Jah has given us our will, so use your will in Yahweh. Do teshuva. Repent from your way. Do a 180 to Yahweh. So fear not. Al tiri. Unless if you do continue to do what he said not to do, then the humiliating conditions of the exile. This is what's catching up a lot of our people now. You know, some people are talking about like we just walked off the plantation yesterday. Like, you know what I mean? Like they still are on the plantation. I know things are difficult, but come on now. Don't insult my ancestors, I and I ancestors. You know, some people are thinking, you know, they see the pictures of, look what they did to us. Look how they live. You know, like they still are doing it. You see, you're marring, you're scarring your own psyche with that nonsense. You see, and that's also part of the Ha-Satan, the diabolus, the diabolical work. But here, listen to Yahweh. Don't fear. Or we don't want the humiliating conditions of the exile, what has happened, to mar this new relationship between Ha'elohim, Eloheinu, our power, and I, Jah people. The shame of thy youth, things that happened to us back in the days, right? Even to Yisrael and Yisrael's youth. We can apply this to ourselves as well, ourselves and our, you know, the backsliding and chastisement of the earlier days. Some point this probably likely to the Mitzrayim situation, the situation in Kemet, so to speak. But moving forward, widowhood. What does he say about widowhood? And the reproach of thy widowhood shalt thou remember no more. When he said, where's your God, Yisrael? Mm-hmm. It's like we are a widow, right? Mama widow. Widowhood, the former lonely state of the nation. Apart from our power, true good, true God, the former lonely state of the nation, Yisrael's years, the years in Babylonian exile, when he seemed to be cast off, he was seen to be cast off from even I and I own Elohim, I and I own power. So they would ask us, where's your God? How come your God can't deliver us from deliver y'all from our hands? You know, that's how the Babylonians think. They think it was by their might and their power that they brought us into this. No, it was really by our disobedience. You know, it was all our fault, not their might or power. You got to take responsibility. For thy maker is thy husband. Ki bo elayik osayik. For thy maker is thy Baal, thy husband. Yisrael need have no doubts of the fulfillment of the yea, yea, and the amen, amen, the promise made by Ha'adon, by Adonai Tzabaot, by the Lord of hosts, the Lord of armies, the Elohei, the Elohim, Elohei Kol Ha'aretz, the Elohim of all the earth, earth's rightful ruler. The key word here is where it says thy husband. That's the key word right there. Mm-hmm. And the connection with the Baal. See, if you're in your right mind, your Hebrew mind, your covenant-keeping mind, then you understand that Yahuwah is Yisrael's Baal. But since they've gone out of their mind, they're going after other people's husbands. That's what it says. That's basically what happened. It's like here, John likens Israel, in a sense, using the feminine, the wife, you could say metaphor, to a woman that doesn't really recognize her own good and true husband, and she's going after other people's husbands, right? And now her husband puts her away, right? But now it's time for a reunion, a calling together. You know, that punishment has gone through, right? So when he says here, it says, for thy maker, Osayik, the one who made Yasharala, Yisrael is Bo Elayik, is thy Baal, who will take thee back and put an end to the separation. For Jehovah have called thee as a wife forsaken and grieves in spirit. Yisrael, Israel holds a permanent place in Ha'el, Ha'elohim, in Elohim's love. Like a Isha, Eshet, married in one's youth. So it says the wife of thy youth. Not saying a wife of that youth, like a wife of your little children in the sense, but a wife that's, you know, like a high school girlfriend, somebody that, you know, you grew up together. You know, they're those couples and, you know, those ones and ones who say, like, we know each other when we were little children. That's the sense of wife of thy youth. So Yisrael holds its prominent place in grace, in Jah's love, like a wife married in one's youth who, despite temporary estrangements, ups and downs, and follies that are past, continues to occupy a, as they say, a warm corner, you know, like a warm spot, a good spot still, even after all that had happened in her husband's heart. And so the key word, it says, as a wife forsaken, forsaken for a time by her Baal, her husband, Yahuwah. For thy maker is thy husband, ki bo elayik osayik, a wife of youth, wooed and married in youth when the relationship was young, long, long, long time ago, with all the ardor of love characteristic of that age. The question that's asked here is, and a wife of youth, can she be rejected? Saith who? Elohayik, Amar Elohayik, saith I Elohim. Can she be rejected? Obviously she cannot. Not fully. An estrangement can only last for a while, you know, until tempers cool down. You know, Yahuwah, Jehovah, he's not so calm. He's not a calm. He's not hot, that heat, that anger. Tempers have cooled down for a small moment. How long? For a small moment. Berega. The Hebrew berega. Somebody say, come, such and such. Rega, like berega, like in a moment. For a small moment, rega, berega. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great compassion will I gather thee. Elohim's, Jah's anger, his calm, going calm. He went calm against Yasharala. He went hot, hamato, his anger, his heat. It was only momentarily. His love is eternal, everlasting, ever faithful, ever sure. A small moment, berega, right? A small moment compared with the long period of Yisrael's glory and happiness, the exile will seem but a brief space of time. Gather thee from the dispersion forward to Zion, even forward to the African Zion. Verse 8. In a little moment, bishetzef, it's a little rhyme here, bishetzef, in a little wrath, bishetzef, I hid my face from the for a moment, berega, for a moment, but with everlasting eternal kindness will I have compassion on thee, saith Yahuwah. Amar go aleik Yahuwah, Jehovah thy Redeemer. Little wrath in the Hebrew, b'shetzef ketzef, is an outbreak. It's like an outbreak of wrath, right? In an outbreak of wrath, I hid my face from thee for a moment, right? When I was pissed off at you. In the outbreak of wrath, bishetzef. The Hebrew assonance, like the rhyme here of shetzef and ketzef, right? May be either meaning. So either in a little wrath or the sense of in an outbreak of wrath. Verse 9. two more verses right here, here, here. For this is as the waters of Noah to me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah, Noah, should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth, be rotted with thee, nor rebuke thee. Can not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. What do we have here? Elohim's new covenant. This is the Brit Hadasha here, the new covenant of shalom and chesed, of peace and mercy with Yisrael, will be le'olam, right? Wa'ed, forever and ever, to time indefinite. Like the covenant, the Brit, he made with humanity after the flood in the days of Noah, more permanent than the apparently everlasting eternal mountains and hills. Says, for this is as the waters of Noah to me. Saying that all this that has been going on is like the waters of Noah to me. Ki, may Noah. Ki for may, the waters of Maya. Right? Ki, may Noah. For because the waters of Noah, like the waters of Noah, Zot, this she, li, this she for me, zot li, ki, may noah, zot li, for this is as the waters of Noah. What is this? What is the zot? What is this, she? The exile and the redemption, the sufferings of the exile, of the Falashimora, the sufferings of the exile, even in this Western North Country, this Western Hemisphere, this North Country, the Americas and the Caribbean, the Trans-Ethiopian Ocean. The sufferings of the exile are compared to the flood of the earth or the flood of the land. And the glories of the redemption to the subsequent Berit, the subsequent covenant, even the Berit Chadash, even the renewed covenant, calls a new covenant. For the mountains may depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness, key word, my kindness shall not depart from thee. V'chasidi maya itake. V'chasidi and my chesed, my loving kindness, may from itek, from thee, speaking to she, will not depart from thee. Neither shall my covenant briti of shalom, o brit shalomi, my peace. What did Yeshua say? Right? Don't think that his peace is like the world peace. Right? Here it says, but my peace, neither shall my covenant of peace be removed. It's interesting because here in the Hebrew it says, Uvrit Shalomi, and the covenant of my peace. More correctly in the Hebrew, Uvrit Shalomi, my peace. The covenant, the Brit Shalomi. So more correctly, the covenant of my peace. Neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed. Sayeth Amar, sayeth Yahuwah, that hath compassion on thee. Amar me rachemech, Yahuwah. Amar me rachemech, right? The one who has, it's interesting because the word rechem in the Hebrew is the word for womb. The womb, like the matrix, like the womb, the matrix. And it has a sense of yielding. But it's also one of the attributes of Yahweh, hey, he who be who he be. And that particular attribute right there is the attribute of compassion, loving kindness on thee. For the mountains, but my kindness, though the mountains, my kindness for Iva. Here, brothers and sisters and brothers, using this as a segue right here to the Brit Hadasha, just to bring out even in that word for this fifth Shabbat, this fifth Sabbath of comfort here, the Rani Akra Singh O'Baron. As we do the reasoning and study on the verse, we can see it's pointing to the Brit Hadasha. And so here, without further ado, yes, I stay tuned, stay tuned.
Stay tuned for the Haftarah and the Brit Hadasha. Aliyot, 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 Aliyot.
The Baraka before the Brit Hadasha.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Ha'olam. Asher Natan Lanu Moshiach Yeshua Wehabaruch Shel Habarik Ha Hadasha. Baruch atah Adonai Notain Habarik Ha Hadasha. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who gave to us the Messiah, Jesus, and the commandments of the new covenant. Blessed are you, Lord, giver of the new covenant.
Hear, O Israel. Hear, O Israel. What does Shema Yisrael, Yahweh Eloheinu, Yahweh Achad, hear, O Israel. Hear, O Israel. The Lord, our God, the Lord is one. What does that really mean? And why is it important, 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 important?
The Brit Hadasha, Chadish Kidan, Renewed Covenant Reading for RSS number 49. Ki Tetze, When You Go Forth. From the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 27 through 30. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1 through 5. We begin, B'shem Ha'ab, V'Habin, V'Ruach HaKadosh, Yahweh Ahad. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, He who be, who He be, the One. Matthew chapter 5. Verse 27, Kaf Zain. Verse 28, Kaf Het. Shemaitem ki ne'emar la rishonim lo tina wa ani omer lakem kol hamistakel beisha lachmod ota naof ne'afa b'libo. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say to you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her, has committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off, and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. First Corinthians chapter 5, part 3, immorality rebuked, discipline enjoined. Verse 1, Aleph. Verse 2, Beit. Hakol nishma b'kol makom shezunut b'nekem uznut asher ein kmoha bagoyim ad sheyikach yish et eshet abiyu ואתם מתקיים תחת אשר תתאבלו להסיר מקרפקם עושה המעשה הזה. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. Indifference to evil in the church, the result of divisions. And ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned, that he that has done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present, concerning him that has done this deed. In the name of Adonainu Yeshua HaMashiach, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together, in my spirit, with the power of Adonainu Yeshua HaMashiach, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of HaAdon Yeshua, in the day of the Lord Jesus. Kabor Lakalu, Kabor Ladimtu, Kabor Lakhailu, Kabor Lakedamawi, Haile Selassie, Be Jesus Christos Sim. Glory to word, glory to sound, glory to power. Glory to Abinu, Melkenu, our Father, our King, the first power of the Trinity, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ. Yes, I, Rastafari.
We have fulfilled all. Praise be to Mesken, to Mesken, Xiavi, you Mesken, Jesus Christos,
Jesus Christos,
Jesus Christos,
Jesus
Christos,
Jesus
Christos,
and again and again and again, here, 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 Melkam Adis Ahmed, here on the September 11th, first day, aka Sunday, right here in Isla Day.
Cut off, and the oil price take off, dollars thing goes off, and the youth them no laugh, and old them drop off, and cash plus lock up, and the biggest monkey living there a wop. The little island full of bass, when I pay the staff, and world war kick off, and more life a loss, we make more price a cost, we make more rifle blast, from to the 40 acre and jackass. And them put them on repeat. Those it out will have to get up and go look it on the street. Man a conquering lion, when I come here so they get defeat. Give them a break. Holiday, a break from separation. You find a way to cope, and your belly full of hope, on the brink of your salvation. World needs renovation.
yes, 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 stretching forth the hand.
Princes shall come out of Egypt. Ethiopia, 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 Ethiopia shall soon stretch out her hands unto God. Sing unto God, ye kingdoms of the earth. Oh, sing praises unto the Lord. Selah, Selah.
And here the Sabbath seal, Psalm 144, as we're moving forward into new Shabuah here. In fact, the beginning of the week is the first day, a.k.a. they call Sunday, the Yom HaRishon, the Rishon day, the Rosh day, the Rosh, the head day. And here corresponds Ethiopia, Kingdom of God, New Year. Here the Sabbath seal psalm, also the beginning of the Shabuah, the 7 days to come right here, 144.
Psalm 144. Blessed be the Lord my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. My goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him, or the son of man that thou makest account of him? Man is like to vanity. His days are as a shadow that passeth away. Bow thy heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains, and they shall smoke. Cast forth lightning and scatter them. Shoot out thine arrows and destroy them. Send thine hand from above. Rid me and deliver me out of great waters from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. I will sing a new song unto thee, O God. Upon a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings will I sing praises unto thee. It is he that giveth salvation unto kings, who delivereth David his servant from the hurtful sword. Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood, that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones, polished after the similitude of a palace, that our garners may be full, affording all manner of store, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and 10,000s in our streets, that our oxen may be strong to labor, that there be no breaking in nor going out, that there be no complaining in our streets. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord.
So Psalm 144 is the Sabbath seal psalm. So when we seal up the Sabbath, we rise up to chant 144. It's also a baraka for the new Shabuah, the new week ahead. As they say, that business is another form of war. It's interesting, business, another form of war, this Torah reading and feeding that we have here for Shabbat Ki Tetzei. When you go forth to war, or when you go forth to battle against thine enemies. And Psalm 144 was a baraka, it's a blessing. You teach my hands what? Right, my fingers, my hands to war, fingers to fight. Here we're looking at the new week to come, you know, the labor of the week. It's another form of warfare, work, the workfare, the warfare, and it's the baraka here, and that ideal that's stated in an outline in the word sound of Psalm 144, also with Psalm 67. These are psalms beginning off a new week, so they chant, Isis, but also in the words contained in the receptivity, it's a baraka, it's a blessing, it's an increase for prosperity and well-being. Here, Psalm 67, which contains within it, it contains from the Torah. See if you can hear the Torah in the words right here. Yes, sir.
Psalm 67. Go ahead.
Let me point you more directly, the priestly blessing. Sima.
Psalm 67. God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. Selah. That thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth. Selah. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him, 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 shall fear him.
So right here, Kite Tse, when you go. Let's go to a brief overview of the time that we have here, this final Iowa, this hour right here. Hopefully you have the full right here. Let's touch on some of the basic overview, what's contained here, you know, as we build here from the previous, even the previous to 48. So we have Kite Tse. Kite Tse, hold on for one moment right here, brothers and sisters. Let me grab the Chumash, the Hebrew, right, just so we can go over the opening verse and then just build on a reasonment here so we can chew the cut, so to speak, you know, chew the cut of the word right here. So we have Kia Te Tse. Here we pick up with Deuteronomy chapter 21 and 10. Deuteronomy chapter 21 and 10. And we're at 20. Here we go. Ki te tse. And it reads right here. Ki te tse. La milhama. Al oibeka. Ua ne tano. Yahuwah loheka. Bi yadeka. We shabita shibyo. When thou goest forth to battle, against thine enemies, milhama, battle, also war, milhama, against thine enemies. Kiyate tse, when you go out, la milhama, to battle, to war, all against oibeka, against thine enemy. Ua nitano, and giveth Yahuwah loheka, and Jehovah thy Elohim delivereth them or giveth them un tano Yahuwah Eloheka, and he who be who he be thy Elohim giveth them be yadeka into thy yad. Once again, here I'm speaking to call Yisrael. The language is that it's speaking to a singular male, because he says Yasharel. Yisrael is my son. Be yadeka into thy male hand. With shivta, shivyo. And thou carriest them away captive. And the eye carriest them away captive. When thou goest forth to battle. So the text here, it refers to a war other than against the seven nations of the Kanaanu, against those particular seven nations. This is a continuation of Deuteronomy 20 and 19. So when you go to Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 19, dealing with the manner of waging war that was interrupted by the institution of the Eglah Arufa, or the breaking of the heifer's neck. So what we had is the war laws from Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 19. Right, ending off here, we have the heifer, Arufa, right, the breaking of the heifer's neck because of the murderic, you know, to clear the guilt, right? And then we continue here with Kite Tse in Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 10. There's a continuation of the war laws right here. Now, this part causes some people, you know, they look at it today and they say, oh, look at that. I mean, how could they do that in the war? They're going to take some woman, the soldier's going to see some woman. And, well, let's go over this right here for a moment. So what we have here, Kite Tse, right, this is the 49th sabbatical study, right, Shabbat Shalom, and I and I annual Lion of the Tribe of Judah cycle of Torah reading and feeding. Here we're at the sixth reading in the fifth book of Moses, known as the book of Deuteronomy. The constitution of this is Deuteronomy 21, verse 10 to Deuteronomy 25 and 19. We, the black Jews and other Yehudim, especially in the diaspora, generally, we read it in late August or in September, early September, like right now. Now, we the black Jews also read the part of the Parsha about Amalek, who is Amalek, in Deuteronomy chapter 25, verses 17 to 19. As a maftir, the additional reading on the Shabbat, the Sabbath Zakor. This is the special Shabbat immediately before Purim, that commemorates the story of Esther, right, of Esther, of our Hebrew Ishtar, right, and the Judaic people's victory, Yeshua, over Haman's plot to kill the Yehudim, even we the black Jews, that's told in the book of Esther. So we have Esther chapter 1, verse 1 to Esther chapter 10, verse 3. Now in Esther chapter 3, verse 1, identifies Haman, right, as an Agagite. And the Agagites were descendants of Amalek. In Numbers 24 and 7, identifies the Agagites with the Amalekites. Now, there's a Midrash, a study that tells that between King Agag's capture by Shaul HaMelech by King Saul, and his killing, you know, the killing of that Agagite by the prophet Shemuel. So what happened is that Saul was sent on a mission, and Saul basically did not completely do the mission. He left alive the enemy king, some sort of ransom or exchange. I don't know what Saul had in mind, but when Shemuel the prophet came there, he basically, you know, dealt with Agag, right? Agag, he had fathered a child from whom Haman and Esther in turn descended. And the Amalekites, Amalek, are linked with Esau. Now the Parsha here, the Torah reading in Feeding the 49th, it sets out a series of Torot. In a sense, you can call it miscellaneous Torot. Miscellaneous direction instruction, various different, like almost each verse has kind of, sometimes it might seem as though it has no rhyme or reason until we study. Mostly governing civil and domestic life and liberty, including ordinances regarding a beautiful captive of war. We have inheritance among the sons of two wives, a wayward son or rebellious son, a Resha, can be an evil son, or in another way of interpreting, a defiant son or a wicked son, Rasha, a wayward son, the corpse of an executed person, found property, what to do if you found somebody else's property, the coming upon another in distress. If you come across another Israelite in distress, you ain't on speaking terms, you don't like that brother there, what you're supposed to do, right? Rooftop safety. Rooftops, so even building ordinance is given. And what's interesting is that this is a major thing nowadays, where in some cities and towns, even if nobody goes up to your roof and you say, why'd I have to put a little fence, a little railing on my roof? Nobody goes up there. But check what the Torah says about rooftop safety. Prohibited mixtures, that which don't mix and are not to mix. Sexual offenses. Also regarding the membership in the aggregation, the congregation. Also, an interesting word about camp hygiene, you know, where John gives the direction to the Israelites in war, how can I say, clean up after themselves, you know, after dispose of their personal waste. What's interesting about that right there, we call that part no shite. There should be no shite in Jah camp, because he says that when you dispose of your personal waste, right, make sure you have that little paddle, you know, on your instrument so you can dig a little hole and put it in the hole, because Yahweh, he walks in the camp. Don't want Hashem to step in your shite. So camp hygiene is pointed out. Runaway captives or runaway, you know, servants, or maybe even, quote, slaves, so to speak. What is to be done with them? How come they never did that? Yeah, because they were a bunch of hypocrites, counterfeit Christianity by and large. Also, in this Torah reading, feeding prostitution, right, is addressed. They say it's the oldest profession in the world. The world says that, right? Usury or charging interest, right, discussing interest rates, You know, no interest rates to our fellow Israelites, our fellow Hebrews, but we can have interest rates to other nations, right? Vows are addressed if you give your word, to keep your word. Gleaning, right? Kidnapping, right, is addressed. Repossession is addressed. Prompt payment of wages, if you have workers, pay them on time, right? Vicarious liability, where you can get a liability indirectly if you don't fulfill your responsibility. Flogging, right? That means punishment, you know, how, yes, if one of us, if I or the I, we need to get punished, yes, but do it in measure, right? Not in no hot anger or you holding something for many years, like you got disease, psychological disease, but on flogging, treatment of domestic animals. I find this part of the Torah very, very curious, right? One might not think so, but there are direction instructions on against cruelty to animals, proper treatment of animals found here. Levirate or levirate marriage, weights and measures, a subject matter we need to sit down and seat up. Aren't you curious when it says that, you know, two hens and an ephah and this, a shekel, like how much is this? You know, like in today's understanding, weights and measures. And lastly, but not leastly, the remembrance, or rather blotting out, remember to blot out the remembrance of the Amalekites. So who are the Amalekites? A key word here, Deuteronomy 25:4, thou shalt not muzzle the ox when he treadeth out the corn. What's interesting about that verse is that Paul, right, Rabbi Shaul, a.k.a. the Apostle Paul, he actually quotes that particular verse right there, right, in a Brit Chadasha reasonment. Some of y'all no doubt might recall that exactly where it is, right? But sometimes we just go and look it up again. Boom. Actually, he said that twice, not just one place, but he said that twice in 1 Corinthians, right, chapter 9, verse 9. He says, for it is written in the law, the Torah of Moshe. What is written in the Torah of Moses, the law of Moses? Thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn, the corn. Doth Elohim take care for oxen? Does Elohim take care for oxen? Rabbi Shaul, a.k.a. the apostle to the Gentiles, our brother Paul says, or, saith he, it all together for our sakes. So he's having a reasonment, even in Corinthian right here, right? In Corinthians chapter 9, verse 9 and 10, he's having a reasoning. He says, for it is written in the Torah of Moses. Notice the language. The word of Moses, the Torah of Moses. Thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth, then he asks the question, does Elohim care for oxen? Is he caring for, or saith he altogether for I and I's sake, for us, for our sakes, no doubt. Right? So the one might look at that and say, well, he's caring for the oxen. Well, yes, in a sense, but moreover, it's for I and I's sakes. For I and I's sakes, no doubt. This is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, in expectation, and that he that thresheth in hope and expectation should be partaker of his hope, of his expectation. So what is Paul talking about here? He's talking about co-laboring and using farming and agriculture as an example of how we should co-labor and give thanks for that word, the, I think it was furious, you know, and asking about the transcribers, heal up. Yes, I, or ask the Farai. Verse 11, he goes on here just to compare the law of Moses with the Brit Chadasha, the renewed covenant. 1 Corinthians chapter 9:11, get it? If I and I have sown to you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? in a sense, what Paul is bringing out is the same thing the Torah brings out concerning the Levites. The Levites had no inheritance but Yahweh, right, but Jehovah. And therefore, the rest of the rank and file Israelites, those of us who could have land and inheritance and income from the crops and from the increase of the, you know, the cattle or the livestock and everything, but they were depending on the support of the Bnei Yisrael. So are the ministers of that true hieratical word. That's why he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 11, here on this 9:11, if we have sown to you spiritual things, spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? That's a good question right there. Because you hear people say, God don't need no money. No, he doesn't, but his ministers, right, should be kept for, they keep up for you in the spiritual things. If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Right, in other words, we pay our taxes to Babylon. We make sure we pay this bill. We pay that. We do all these other things in Babylon. Say, fire burn Babylon. Babylon's fallen. But yet in Yahweh, how are we supportive of that? Nevertheless, Paul says, as I also say with Rabbi Shaul, a.k.a. Brother Paulos, nevertheless, we have not used this power to say we have not used this exousia, this authority, right? Have we not this authority over you as the Levites had that authority of the rank and file Israelites, the ministers of the good news, the gospel? Nevertheless, we have not used this authority. Basically, he's saying the essence is we're not abusing this authority, but we have the authority to even command and demand that we will not. But we suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel, the good news of Moshiach, the gospel, the good news of Messiah. Verse 13, he goes on to say, do y'all not know that they who minister about the holy things live of the things of the temple? It's like the tabernacle, like the Levites, the priests and the Levites. They did not live how they lived. They didn't have the land and the inheritance like most of the other Israelites did. How did they live? They lived off of the support of the Israelites. And they which wait at the altar, the Mizbeah, are partakers with the altar. So when one brought forward like a minka, say he brought forward some grain, what would the priest do? He'll take a handful of it, right? Right? You know, and burn that like an azkara as a memorial. But the rest of that was for the priests. That's how they lived. Even so hath Ha'adam, the Lord, the sovereign, ordained that they who preach, who proclaim the gospel, the good news, should live of the gospel, the good news. But I, and Paul, Brother Paul, I got to say, but I and I, right, have used none of these things. Neither have I written these things that it should be so done to me. For it were better for me to die than that any man should make my glorying void. For though I preach the good news, I have nothing to glory of for necessity. You know, some say, oh, that's a good thing you do. Many of I and I don't have a choice to do this. This is like Paul. It's a necessity is laid upon I. Yea, woe to I if I preach not the good news. Even woe to I and I if I and I preach not the good news of the King of Kings and his Christ. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, you know, like I'm saying, I got to do this. I really don't want to, I got to do this. Right? If I do it against my will, then it's a dispensation, a management of the household or of the household affairs is committed to me. What is my reward then? That when I preach, proclaim the good news, I may make the good news of Messiah without charge, that I abuse not my power, my exousia, my authority, my sultan in the gospel, in the good news. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant, key, servant to all, that I might gain the more. And to the Yehudim, I became as a Yehudi, a Jew, that I might gain the Yehudim, the Jews, even we, the black Jews, to them that are under HaTorah, as under HaTorah, that I might gain them that are under HaTorah, to them that are without Torah, as without Torah, being not without Torah to Elohim, I, not being without Torah to Elohim, but under the Torah, the direction, instruction to Moshiach, to Christ, that I might gain them that are without Torah. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the good news sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know y'all not that they which run in a race run all? Everybody's running the marathon. Everybody in it is running, right? Know y'all not that they that run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that y'all, that you all, that I and I all may obtain. And every man that striveth for mastery is temperate, key word, self-control, has contentment, is temperate. Again, and every man that striveth for mastery is temperate, exhibits self-governance, self-government in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. You know, we have to do this work of job, like, well, I don't know, maybe won't. No, not as uncertainly. So fight I. I love Paul on this message right here, because it connects to here with this Torah reading and feeding when you go forth to war against thine enemy. So fight I, not as one that beateth the ear, like shadow boxing. But I keep under my body and bring it, speaking of my body, into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached, proclaimed to others, I myself should be a castaway. He's saying that, you know, sometimes we'll preach the message to others and we'll help all these others out, but yet we're not actually doing it ourselves. So in a sense, we help them get in, but we get kicked out because we're not doing it. He said that I don't want to be preaching to others, but I need to do this discipline for myself so that I myself don't get cast away even while putting others on. The second place he quoted this particular verse right here, right? This particular verse right here. Let's get this verse right here. Thou shalt not muzzle the ox when it treadeth out the corn. Deuteronomy 25:4. We find it in 1 Timothy 5:18. So we know what Brother Paul, Rav Shaul, was reading, right? As is written, remind me of Yeshua. When Yeshua, Robeno, when he says, have you not read? Have you not read? It is written. And what was he quoting? He's quoting HaTorah. He's quoting the Hebrew Bible, yes. 1 Timothy 5:18. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. Now here's what's interesting in 1 Timothy 5:18. In this one verse, Paul, the apostle Paul, Rav Shaul, right, to his disciple Timothy, he is quoting, right, he is quoting the scripture. And he is quoting Robeinu Yeshua. The scripture quote, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. Moshiach quote, the laborer is worthy of his reward. Now, some might say, well, yeah, Yeshua said it, but it was an old rabbinical saying. Well, both are true, but we know that Yeshua said it. So right here is what, it's just very interesting right here. You know, and he says this here after he says this, just to share this word here. May the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and in doctrine, in the word and in the teaching. Notice that. Then he says, for the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. Do you see the connection between what he's saying here, quoting Deuteronomy, and what he's saying about the elders that rule well, be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine and the teaching? For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. Like literally speaking, if your ox is treading the corn, right, don't put a muzzle on it. You know, the ox may eat a little grass or whatever. You know, allow it. Allow it. It's working. Right? For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. And the words of Rabbeinu Yeshua, the laborer is worthy of his reward. Then Paul goes on in verse 19, 1 Timothy 5:19, against an elder receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. So it doesn't mean that an elder cannot be accused, but you make sure you have your witness and your evidence, right? Not on one mouth. It reminds me of what the Torah says when it says like one witness is really not worthy, right? Especially in certain cases, such as against an elder, receives not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. Then that sin rebuke before all, that others also may fear, may reverence, may be more respectful. I charge thee before Elohim and before Ha'adon Yeshua HaMoshiach and the elect angels, fire angels, that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing, no thing by partiality. Isn't that what has been going over and over in HaTorah, to see these last couple of Torah readings and feedings against that partiality? It goes on in verse 22, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 22. What does it read? Lay hands suddenly on no man. You know, like you got so much blessing, you want to just touch everybody. No, it says lay hands suddenly on no man. Neither be partaker of other man's chatiyat. Now, you know the key thing about this is when a sacrifice according to the temple, the tabernacle type was made, and one is I'm giving this animal because I ucked up. What I have to do is lay my hand, samicha, right, samicha and the samek, the Hebrew samek sign on the head of that animal, and I have to confess over that animal what I have done. Then the Kohen, the priest, gives me like a knife, and I cut the animal from ear to ear, and the priest captures that blood. I'm just sharing with you what the rite and ritual is. Now, what's the principle there? The laying on of hands, right? That substitutional, that transference. So here, when it says lay hands suddenly on no man, I don't know if ones and ones are familiar with something like prana and certain healing. Right. Sometimes some people can like heal, put their hands on somebody to help take a disease off of them. But sometimes they get that disease themselves. This is kind of what this is saying here in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 22. Lay hands suddenly on no man. Right. Neither be partaker of other man's sin. Keep thyself pure. Verse 23, drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. Here's where we get the sense of like a little water and wine, right, to cut it a little bit. Verse 24, some men's sins, some men's uckery, fookeries are open beforehand. Some men's uckery, sin, forfeiture, you know, is like everybody knows. Right, going before to judgment, and some men's uckeries they will follow after. So don't be so quick on some things. Allow everything right in its time. Verse 25. Likewise, also the good works of some are manifest beforehand. Someone's and one's good works, you see them beforehand, and they that are otherwise like not good cannot be hid. So right there, just sharing how these words from Torah, we also find in the Brit Chadash. And I imagine all those anti-Old Testament, New Testament folk, if we take all those verses that are quoted, right, by Yeshua and by the apostles and the disciples, what would you have? So here, to the first point that is mentioned here, we have the beautiful captive. I've heard a lot of people reason on this over the last year, and not to get into everything that they reason on, but let's just touch on one of these 10 main items here, summary items in this 49th. One, the first one is the beautiful captive. The second is inheritance among the sons of two wives. The third is the rebellious or the wayward son. The fourth is the corpse of an executed man or hung man. The fifth is found property. The sixth is ordinances. The seventh is sexual offenses. The eighth is membership in the aggregation, the congregation. The ninth is the camp, hygiene in the camp. And tenth, there are some more ordinances. First one to address as well as we can here, the beautiful captive. Moshe directed the Israelites, the Bnei Yisrael, the sons of Israel, more directly, that when Hilahim delivered enemies into their power, into their authority, the Bnei Yisrael, the sons of Israel, took captives. And Israeli, an Israelite, saw among the captives a beautiful woman. I think in the Hebrew, there we go right there, it says a woman of a beautiful form. Right, a woman of a beautiful form, because men are, you know, we as men, we do tend to be more visual. Here it says, V'raita ba shivaya eshet yefata to'ar. First part, it says, and seest among the captives a woman of goodly form. V'raita, and the I, male, speaking to a singular male, V'raita. Ba shivya among the captives, eshet, a woman, yifat, beautiful, yafe means to be beautiful, pretty, beautiful, yifat, beautiful, toar, a beautiful form, right? So I point that out because it comes into the context of what's really going on right here. So a woman, you don't know anything about the woman, but she looked nice, right? Okay, she has a beautiful form. And he desires her. Uh-oh, it's a D, the D rising up. He desires her, right? And he wants to marry her, quote unquote. He wants to have her, but in the Hebrew sense, marry her. The Israelite was to bring her into his house and have her trim her hair, pierce her nails, discard her captive garb, and spend a month lamenting for her father and her mother, according to Deuteronomy chapter 21, verses 10 to 13. Thereafter, the Yisraeli, the Israelite, could take her as Esheto Ishto, his wife, according to Deuteronomy 21 and 13. But if he should find that he no longer wanted her, he had to release her outright. No ifs, ands, just let her go. Let her go. Release her outright. And not sell her for money, right, as a servant, or in the KJV Bible, what it says, and not make merchandise. That's an interesting expression there. Not make merchandise of her. Now, here in verse 11, wouldest take her to be thy wife? Scripture here makes concession for man weakness, for human weakness. But it also regulates a very despicable practice that would go on even in war. You hear about rape in war? Among the sons of Israel, in keeping with Torah, there'll be no rape in war. Not on our side. No rape in war. Right? Because that's the context of what's being said right there. You know, on the battlefield, you do that on the battlefield. You know, the judges among the troops, we have permission to execute you directly. You know, and send a note to your family. You violated the Torah. No, but after the fact, you might get, you know, an eye. So this human weakness regulating what we get in the Torah, even the Torah of Moses, the law of Moses, is raising fallen humanity, fallen man, to the example of Yisrael from low degrees to high degrees, gradually regulating customs, right? Outlawing some and severely regulating others. Some things that they used to do, like the pillars, the obelisk, because, you know, we have Jacob, he raised one, a howler, a stealer. But now, under the law of Moshe, we cannot, because times have changed. Things have changed. So some things are ruled out completely. Other things are heavily regulated according to the covenant. So here, let's zoom in on the beautiful captive. The beautiful captive. Now, the Gemara, getting to some of the Judaic teachings here, right? The Gemara taught that Deuteronomy 21, verses 10 to 14, it provided the Torah direction instruction of taking a beautiful captive only as an allowance for human weakness and mandem passions. The Rebbeinah, the scholars of Torah, taught in the Baraita that taking a beautiful captive according to the strictures, these strict rules, regulation, covenantally speaking, of Deuteronomy chapter 21, verses 10 to 14, was better than taking beautiful captives without restriction. So that means, among other nations, back in the past, in them time, and even today, you know, man with gun and man with sword and man a warrior, they do whatever they want to do. But Josh said, not so, my sons, right? So the scholars said that it is better to do so with these restrictions, strictures, than taking beautiful captives without restriction. Just as it was better for a Israelite, a Hebrew or Yehudi, to eat, if they are meat eaters, to eat the meat of a ritually slaughtered ill animal than to eat the meat of an ill animal that had died on its own. The Rebbeinah, they interpreted the words here in Deuteronomy 21:11, and you see among the captives. You get that word right there, and you see. Remember the previous Torah reading was ra'ah, to see. Here we have viraita, and the eye male. So it's not just speaking to one man, in a sense, but speaking to all of Yasharala, Yisrael, as one man. So that means it applies to any of us. If we get this idea in our head, well, this is the rules. V'zoh haderek, this is the way, walk in it. V'raita ba'shivya eshet yifat to'ar, and seest among the captives a woman eshet yifat to'ar, of a goodly form, of a yifat to'ar, of a beautiful countenance, you could say profile, almost in a sense shape, you know. So the Rebbeinah, they interpreted these words here from Deuteronomy 21:11 to mean that the provisions applied only if the soldier set his eye up on the Isha, the woman, when taking her captive, and not later. Remember that woman from the last battle, too late? They interpreted the words, a woman, eshet, in Deuteronomy 21:11, to mean that the provision applied even to a woman who was married before having been taken captive. So once she's taken captive, you know, this is new rules, Israel rules. So it even applies to a woman who she might have been married amongst other people, but that's other people, like their gods or their gods. So that's that thing. So it can apply also to a woman, right, that had been married before having been taken into captivity. They interpreted the words, quote, and you have a desire. Now, that's an interesting, and you have a desire. Something, it says, vi hashakta. You have a desire, vi hashakta, baha. You have a desire in her. Va, in modern Hebrew, va, ancient point of baha. You have a desire not to her, but you have a desire on her. And like, that's the force of it, direct, real. You have a desire on her, right? So these words here to mean that the provision applied even if the woman was not beautiful. But what they say, beauty is in the eye of the beholder, right? We walk by faith and not by sight. They interpreted the words her in Deuteronomy 21:11, va or baha, Baha in Ha, right? Baha in Ha, to mean that the provisions allowed him to take her alone, not her and her companion. It's not like he said, well, I like her and her and her. I'm going to take like all five of y'all, three of y'all, or two. No, no, no. One. Right? So looking at this right here, breaking it down, they also interpret the words, and you shall take, in Deuteronomy 21:11, to mean that the soldier could have marital rights over her. They interpret the words to you, to wife, not to be your side piece or no, to wife, under the same rules and regulation of, we could say, wifehood, so to speak. Deuteronomy 21:11. This is to mean that the soldier could not take two women off the battlefield. Yeah, I know you did a great job out there fighting, man. Yeah, but no, you don't have permission to take what the Torah says. One, right? So he cannot take two women, one for himself and another for his father, or one for himself and another for his brother, you know, or one for himself and one for his son. Nah. Also, the interpretation of the words in Deuteronomy 21:12, then you shall bring her home. This means that the soldier could not molest her on the battlefield or actually anywhere else along that way. Because if any of us saw that, we are duty bound to deal with that, right? Not to let him slide because the priests don't see you, or the Levite don't see you, or the shofet don't see you, or the shota don't see you, because we see you. So the soldier cannot molest her on the battlefield or anywhere else. Right. Rav said that Deuteronomy 21:10-14, it permitted even a priest, some interpreted this, that even a priest to take a beautiful captive, while Samuel maintained that it was forbidden. Shemuel maintained that it was forbidden to a Kohen, a priest. So going to some of the reasonments, you know, as we even reason on these things, we'll find out that we're not the first to reason on it. So we can learn even from others' reasoning. And then as we go over there, reasoning, come, make I and I reason. The Gemara taught that the procedure of Deuteronomy 21:12-13 applied only when the captive did not accept the commandments. So some looked at these conditions here and say, well, this applied when the captive did not accept HaMitzvah, Eseret HaDibarim, the commandments. For if she accepted the commandments, then she could be immersed in a ritual bath, and like a baptism, a Hebrew baptismal bath, and she and the soldier could marry immediately. Others interpreted the words from Deuteronomy 21:12, and she shall shave her head and do her nails. This means that she was to cut her nails. But others interpret the words to mean that she was to let them grow. So even in this area of scripture, historically among Yehudi and fellow Jews, some have reasoned that it means she's supposed to cut them. Others say that she's supposed to let them grow. Come, let's reason on that. Rebbe Eliezer, he reasoned on Deuteronomy 21:12, specified an act with respect to the head, to the rosh, the ras, the head, and an act with respect to the nails. And as the former meant removal, so should the latter, since removing, shaving her hair, therefore the same for nail. Because in the Hebrew it just says she shall do her nails. She'll get her nails done, right? She shall do her nails. That's directly what the Hebrew says. Rebbe Akiva, right, he reasoned on Deuteronomy 21:12, specified disfigurement for the head. So it must mean disfigurement for the nails as well. In other words, to cut them. Rebbe Eliezer interpreted the words in Deuteronomy 21:13, bewail her father and her mother, to mean that her actual father and mother. But Rebbe Akiva, he interpreted the words to mean idolatry, that her father and mother was her idolatry. And he cites Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 27, as backative. In another teaching of Baraita had taught that a full month, it meant 30 days, right? Some thought that a month might mean 28 days. So the question is it a lunar month, 28 days, or a solar month, 30 days? But Rebbe Shimon ben Eliezer, he interprets the words from Deuteronomy 21:13 to call for 90 days, 30 days for a month, 30 days for full, and 30 days, and after that, 30 days. Rabina said that one could say that, quote, month meant 30 days, full meant 30 days, and after that meant an equal number, 30, right, plus 30, again, for a total of 120 days. Now, I share this right here because one's had a reason on this, right, in the application, but it's not an easy thing. It's not as easy as it would have been before the Torah was issued on this matter. Before the Torah was issued on this matter, right, every soldier, warrior, you know, basically you can just do whatever, you know, do whatever you think is good. You're a soldier. I mean, I'm a warrior. I take whatever I want to take, you know. I'm a fighter. But now these things are under regulation. Regulation, regulation. Here, here, here. Less on that particular matter. I know there's probably some more questions on it, but we'd like to touch on a couple other areas. Not right now because due to the time, got like 5 minutes right here on the podcast. But there's some other subject matters, this particular Torah reading and feeding. Hopefully we'll have an opportunity to circle, you know, forward on it. Wanted to discuss also the positive and negative commands here in brief summary. The Sefer HaChinuch, right, the Cipher of Initiation, right, says Chinuch, like Enoch, Hanukkah, to be initiated. There are 27 positive and 47 negative commands in the 49th sabbatical study. 27 positive, right, and 47 negative commands. Simply put, there are 27 thou shalt do, and there are 47 thou shalt not do. So hopefully we can pick up on the inheritance among the sons of the two wives, the wayward son, especially as there are some aspects of this 49th that directly, right, resonate with the Brit Chadasha, some sections of it. The tree, a man hung on the tree, all right, or impaled, how he had to be, you know, buried before the sun was down, the circumstance that happened for Yeshua. We spoke about the Sanhedrin as well, you know, and what they did, how they tried to twist law in order to crucify and kill that good man. Yeah, yeah. So here, 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 brothers and sisters, sisters and brothers, will be a good kind of an outro tune right here, 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 you know, for this day and for this time. just looking at the time right here, here, here. Yes, I. Rastafari. Let's bring up a tune right here on the outro. Don't want to even open up another subject matter right here. Jah bless the eye, keep the eye, and I and I cause his face, his grace to shine on I, and give I, Yeshua Shalom. Yes, I, Yeshua Shalom. Okay, Eleni, Eleni, Eleni. I love this tune by Eleni. Good outro tune right here. You know, a new year. Be blessed in this new year, right? In the solar new year that has begun, Ethiopia Kingdom of God here for this September 11th. You know, we got to reclaim September 11th. Yes, I. Be blessed and highly favored in the King of Kings, Yeshua HaMoshiach. Yes, I.
Watch out for your pony. You don't know it's Love Star music. All right.
We're not. how we is, that's who we are and how we feel. It's not a movie, it's for real, this. Yeah, but the blessing them a follow we. Yeah, our God we serve without apology. Yeah, so we reap, so we sow, so we learn, so we grow. No weapon they throw shall damage we.